The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, you're listening to Millennium Musings, probably through the FlyPod. I'm your host, Donovan Carroll. I thought it'd be a good idea for me to jump in and discuss my experiences at university. I've been at university now for 1 month. I'm on my junior year, so I'm in the fall semester of my junior year. It's been a good time. I've been learning a lot. I'm a history and political science major, and I just like to point out some of the logical inconsistencies that are going on among the leftists at my school, because if you're at university, you're essentially at an intrinsically leftist institution. So I just like to point out some of my experiences. I'm part of Turning Point USA. Turning Point USA is a really cool institution for students to get involved in. It's a conservative group. We are nonpartisan, but we express conservative principles such as small government. And we don't get involved in social issues, but it's really fun because we get to table and we have posters that say socialism sucks and big government sucks and I'm pro-choice, choose your gun, and it's got like a Glock 43 and a 22 and an AR-15. It's pretty funny. It triggers the hell out of the liberals. My point is, I got some stories. And stories are great fun because these stories that I've experienced at my university are relatively light compared to stories at Berkeley. I know if you listen to my first podcast, I cited some stories from Berkeley, California, which is just a cesspool. Luckily, the university I attend is not quite that bad, but there are the crazies. So I'll just jump right in and give you some examples of my experience. And then remember, I want you to remember this is not exception or anything. This is mainstream stuff. You know, this is like every university, sometimes times 10. I'll give you an example of some of the stuff that people are learning on campus, the logic behind some of these groups on campus. And I'll try to point out their arguments why they're crap, basically. So we're at Turning Point USA, and we're at our school's activity fair, which is a time for all the clubs to gather, gymnasium, I suppose you'd call it. It's an indoor track, but we all gather in there and we table, and it's like 300 student-run organizations and Turning Point's there. And somehow we got placed two tables down from the Progressive Student Alliance. So they're coming over to our table and they're bugging us. And this guy with very long hippie hair, he's got a gross beard, he's got messed up teeth, and he's just weird and liberal, so it made it all worse. He says, "Where'd you get all these posters?" Because Turning Point sends us a whole bunch of posters. Turning Point's a national organization. He says, "Where'd you get all these?" And we said, "Well, we got them from the Turning Point headquarters." And he goes, "Wow, so they just gave them to you?" And our president said, "Yes." And he goes, "Wow, that sounds like socialism." And then he takes a handful of each of our posters, and we asked him to give them back, and he laughed and walked away. That's what progressives do on a college campus. They're justified in taking our stuff and insulting us and giving us unsolicited insults and banter. We didn't even ask for it. We're just tabling. So they walk up and they laugh and they throw things. But it's fun. You know, we laugh back and it's a good time. But are you kidding me? People are applying that logic right now for Hurricane Harvey in Houston. They're saying, "Oh, wow, the government doesn't like socialism, but they need socialism so they can clean up from Hurricane Harvey." And that's just painful. That's just painful. That's the same logic these Progressive Student Alliance kids were applying. How is it socialism when a government does destruction assistance? I don't know. I guess that's what you'd call it. Socialism is when government owns the means of production. When the market is government-driven, socialism is a collective ownership of goods and services. I fail to see how government aid to victims of Hurricane Harvey is socialism. I fail to see how a private institution such as Turning Point, sending posters and buttons and Turning Point memorabilia to one of their chapters as socialism. They are confusing socialism with charitable acts of either private institutions such as Turning Point or the federal government assisting state-level governments with mass destructive cleanups. And it doesn't make any sense to me why they think that. Another thing was, before I got to my Turning Point booth, no one recognized me. I was not wearing my Catholic Church shirt or my small government shirt or my Dennis Prager shirt or anything like that. And I walk up to the Feminist for Action booth and I say, "Hi, I'm a male feminist." I try not to choke on the words. I say, "Hi, I'm a male feminist. What's up? How do I get involved with this?" And she goes, "Oh, well, we have lots of unconventional feminists," which right away, that triggered me, because why am I an unconventional feminist? Did she just assume my gender? I mean, I know I just said male feminist, but that's my gender or my sex, not necessarily what I identify as, right? So she just automatically told me I was an unconventional feminist, which triggered me. And I said, well, how do I learn more? And she goes, you can talk to that fellow over there. And there was this very large man. His sex was man, because sex and gender aren't the same to these people. And when I say his sex was man, he had a penis. Biologically, he was a male. You see, at college, us enlightened thinkers are taught that sex is biology and gender is the sort of abstract feelings that are with gender. But anyways, she told me to go talk to this fella over there who was also an unconventional feminist. So right away, I'm being lumped into this group with this fella who's trans or something. She told me she couldn't remember his preferred pronouns. She felt really bad about it. But she told me to go talk to this unconventional male feminist. So I mosey over past him. I ended up not talking to him because he was surrounded by a group of other feminists who had Trump is a bully shirts, which, by the way, those are brilliant shirts if you're a leftist. But anyways, I mosey back over to the Turning Point table, and then the Progressive Student Alliance bugged us, and the Feminists for Action shot me dirty looks after they realized I was part of Turning Point. So I guess I am an unconventional something to them. And what really got me going this year was the worst thing. I signed up for this course called History of Western Political Thought, which was very exciting because the course description listed Machiavelli, which is wonderful to study. I've read The Prince, great book. I recommend it to anybody. It's a fun read. And then Aristotle and Plato, Greek philosophers, and then St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas. Really fun guys to study. I get into the class, and he gives us our list of textbooks we need. And within those list of textbooks is the Iliad, which is interesting enough. You know, I can get behind it. It's a very early work of what is arguably Western literature. Okay, whatever. I can get behind that. And we're studying Plato's Republic, which is neat. And we've got a book about early Roman civilization and early Greek civilization, which I guess is fine. We're condensed into Greek and Rome, which is okay. But then I get to this book called European Paganism and the Norse Edda, those two, which I guess they want like a non-Western perspective of Western politics, I guess. I don't know, because paganism really hasn't done anything for the West. Christianity and the Catholic Church built the West. Protestants gave us capitalism, so that's kind of cool. Kind of important, I guess. I hate giving credit, but credit where credit's due. I joke. But there's this chapter in this book called The Phallus and Phallic Power. And I found it just perusing through the book because I was mad. One of my textbooks is Studying Men and Masculinities, and one of the chapters is The Phallus and Phallic Power. One of the chapters is Male Homo Sociality and Male Homo Social Desire, which I'm not sure what that means, but I guess I'll learn. I'll be enlightened. Abjection, which I don't know what that is. Misogyny and homophobia, which are all very important to Western politics, I'm sure. I'm sure my professor, with his man bun, has a very good reason for having us study this and paganism. But I was just mind blown. How do you go from St. Thomas Aquinas, arguably one of the most prevalent and influential medieval philosophers, to studying men and masculinities in The Phallus and Phallic Power and queer reading? I'm perusing through it right now. I just found a new one called Queer Reading. That's not unusual. That's, in fact, pretty light, what I've experienced. We also have a fella named Preacher John. He comes over and he yells at kids. I don't know what his denomination is, but he brings his Bible and he yells at women walking past in the yoga pants. Says they're going to be raped and deserve it, and they're going to hell, and all of us are going to hell, and naturally the student body turns into hell and throws things, and I watched a group of girls take their top off in front of him. That seemed to prove a point. I watched this fella scream in his face and spit on him that he was pansexual and God loved him anyway. This one girl appealed to her own authority and said, well, I'm a Christian, but I think homosexuality is okay because God loves everyone. And these are college students. This is our future. That is the extent of their argumentative and debate skills. One guy, props to him, it was kind of clever. He got bagpipes and just played next to the guy so no one could hear him, which I guess if you want to censor free speech, that's a clever way to do it. It's not a bad way to do it. But I'd like to have a podcast every couple months that talks about my experience on my college campus, because I'm in the nitty-gritty of it, and I want parents and students or potential students to know what it's like, what to expect, not to lose who you are. I love the quote. I think it's from G.K. Chesterton. Don't let your mind be so open-minded your brain falls out, right? Remember your morals. Remember what's true. because it's a cesspool, and they'll try to indoctrinate you by studying men and masculinities by this David Buchbinder. I don't know who that is. He's the author. But it's just very stressful to be on a college campus because you're such a minority. In my case, I'm such a minority in my viewpoints. I'm a minority anyway because I'm a very conservative Catholic. There's really not a lot of rad trad cats nowadays, let alone rad trad cats who are into American politics to the extent that I am. But seriously, colleges, they will scam you if you let them. I had this analogy with the car. Imagine you give Toyota whatever money that they demand for the price of their car. The consumer can go through the government and get this loan to pay whatever the price might be for a car. And the government gives it to them, and then the consumer purchaser of the car goes on a payment plan to either Toyota or to the federal government. And Toyota can quite literally charge whatever they want. PragerU does a good video about this called Speech Every 2015 College Grad Needs to Hear. And there's another video called Why College is So Expensive. They're not long. PragerU is amazing. I think both those videos combined will take about 7 minutes of your time. Colleges are guaranteed the money. The money goes into their pocket. The federal government gives it to them. There's no way around it. Colleges have this money. They do whatever they want with it. My college is tearing down a dormitory that was once the largest dormitory in the nation, and they're rebuilding it, and it houses 1,200 less kids. I don't get that. We're trading functionality for comfort, and that's not what college students do. It's not comfortable to give up a job and being with your family and friends to live in a dorm with chandeliers and pool tables at the end of every hall. And yes, there's one like that on my campus. There's a dorm where you can get free condoms in as well, because that's important. And there's chandeliers and art and not student art, mind you. This is art that was went out and bought and professionally framed and whatnot. And there's pool tables and ping pong tables. And I'm just like, why? We're here to learn and be students. Can you just like not do all that? Put a brick and mortar building up and give us a 200 square foot room that's not that expensive? That's just me, though. Some students need to be coddled, and they need their intellectual safe space. Jordan Peterson has some great videos about that, which I'll be citing in the future. But this is just one of those podcasts I wanted to do to cite my experience and give some insight into what I've witnessed in college and what I've gone through. So I'll be doing some more like this. I'll elaborate more on this, and I'd love to elaborate more on it in person. You can email me at donovancarolmm@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at Donovan Carroll MM. Please follow me on Twitter. It'll be fun. I tweet funny things. And you'll be reminded whenever my podcasts come out. So that'll be great. And thank you for listening to this podcast where I talk about my own personal experience on campuses. God bless.